This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and of course, I'm joined by Aaron Green from the On The Clock show. This is our Mash-Up Man Down Wednesday. And of course, as usual, we have Ian Munnings who's joining us, and he's our co-host here, our guest host. And we have a discussion that is running. We have a discussion that is running from the last hour, but we're going to broaden it. We're going to broaden it because we're talking about immigration and immigration crisis, and by extension, the housing crisis. But we want to, at least I was in Aaron's mind, that our prime minister just met with the vice president of the United States of America, the great Kamala Harris, and he went there kicking down doors like he's a Lincoln and saying that these are the things the Caribbean needs. We are having a Haitian crisis and we need your help. We're having a gun crisis and we need your help. And we ain't taking no smart talk. We matter.
Did you hear him actually say we have an Asian problem?
No, I didn't hear that in that.
Because I see emphasis on a whole bunch of things here, right? Yeah, and when you look at the Tribune story.
Those two things are the things I picked out that our prime minister did.
When I look at The Guardian, you're talking about FTX, you're talking about climate change, you're talking about guns.
But immigration.
You're talking about migration of guns.
What?
Movement of guns, that's what he's talking about.
You're trying to deflate my prime minister of what he did in the United States.
In fact, I am certain he had to have gone there to talk about the migration, the movement of Haitians, right?
Yeah.
And the political crisis in Haiti. They had to have talked about that. Why? Because the prime minister is about to assume the chairmanship of CARICOM.
He's already the chairman of CARICOM.
From the 1st of January, yes. Right? The chair of CARICOM. We about to host the 34th intersessional meeting of CARICOM.
From February 16th to February 18th, right inside the Bahamas, yeah.
And then on top of that, the terms of the last government officials in Haiti expired recently, like a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And so Haiti sits without a government, without a duly elected...
What do you mean they have no government?
...by the Haitian people. Hold on. They don't have a government that was duly elected by the Haitian people. They have people who are providing interim leadership services. Mm. I don't even know how many of them are Haitian. I didn't get to do all of that research, but that's all of the things that are happening. So I'm certain that when our prime minister went to this meeting to talk to Kamala Harris, vice president of the United States of America, that Haiti had to have been the priority issue on the table. And my question is this. Will we get a brief, if not an entire transcript, will we get a briefing on what they discussed? Will we get a briefing on what was discussed at the 9th Summit of the Americas in June last year in LA? That's when they had the migration talks, right? Mm-hmm. Will the Bahamian public have access to the details of those discussions?
We didn't sign nothing at that summit.
But see, that's a beautiful part.
My good prime minister came out and said they wanted us to host, be like an interim or some kind of LEPAD thing where migrants is stationed here. And we said, no, we ain't for that.
That's fine, but you still need to tell us what you said no to. It's not just enough. It's almost like you think you pair our parents and we seven and you don't really have to tell us things. But we'd like to know what it is that was discussed and what it is you said no to. I think this is important. I want to know what is this the meeting, like you say, in preparation for this CARICOM meeting. Is CARICOM going to demand that they be allowed to operate an interim government in Haiti with the support of the UN and the global community? I hear the U.S. and Canada have been invited to this meeting.
Yes, the U.S. and Canada will be there.
Surely you gots to be talking about Haitian migration.
Yes, I assume
since
so.
We know that the Bahamas is typically just a through point for most migrants. They're trying to get to the U.S., to Canada, or to France, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be there. So I really want to know, a what y'all talked about in June of last year. Were these part of this talks with the vice president, follow-up talks on that? What were the migration talks at this in this conversation? Is this in preparation for the CARICOM meeting? And will you and then will you tell us what it is you're going to discuss at the CARICOM meeting as it relates to migration?
Yeah, I see we have a caller here that I'd like to Ian go. Patrick, caller through. Let me see what they want to say about that. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, brother Louis.
How you doing, man?
I'm great. Good morning, Minister. How are you going?
Morning, morning.
Hey, brother, morning. How are you doing?
Morning, morning.
Let me tell you what our problem is in this country. The most of food and the fairness is miserable. Okay, I don't listen to words. The people who are 75 say not a word. And particularly 80% of the politicians lie to us all the time. I got them on both sides. They promise many people all kind of nonsense. Discriminating against us. We cannot go and extend on gamble. We can't get license and gamble with our businesses and our family on a killing game. And with the migration problem. Let me give you an example, Brother Louis and Sister Green. When my dad and uncle and grandfather have been on the contract, they could speak English, they had place to live and sleep, and they were documented. They were well protected under American law. See, anybody come to this country illegally, anybody get high in them. For example, I can call these Bahama and Atlantic. Call them tonight, immigration. Some people claim them for what they're illegal people. We need to fix this country. Charge them $1 million a head. Everybody needs to pay them. And if you need to break them down. That judge actually had a bad one. She needs to recuse herself and get up this case and put a real being with her who could do the job for this man. You see, this country ain't getting blessings and probably retire all of the Moses who come this next election. All of them going home. Them going to they told them to go home. Because people are suing the government. And some of them for the government, then get paid. Why they don't go home? Bring the young people who can run this country. Stop funding Bahamas there and there and there. Get them one more lump sum, and if they can't cut it, that's their business. Everybody who are the government, DC, everybody who can pay the government the money, man. Be tired getting taxed. And one more thing before I go now. Hey, Dwight, make sure take these what I'm calling thing, man. Because right now, you're double taxing me, man. And trying to make all your young people.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Some excellent points made. Most of all, the frustration of the Bahamian people.
And Bahamians are frustrated, yes. Right.
And that's why I want to know what was discussed at those meetings. That's going to help the Bahamian people. That's going to help lower the frustration level. It's going to help build the trust, decrease the trust deficit.
I want to put this question to you, and of course, Ian, right? In the Prime Minister's address, or at least the news report, it says that he reminded the United States that they have committed to some things and that the Caribbean nations are waiting on their commitment. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. And as the chairman of CARICOM, I understand his position. When he speaks with a sense of urgency, say that these things need to be done now. Mm-hmm. And this is my question to you. Is there a sincere sense of urgency that at this present time, we have a court case pending going on 3 years regarding the shanty town and whether they could be demolished, right? And the Prime Minister saying that there's a crisis in Haiti and the crisis is spilling over to the Bahamas and it needs to be urgently addressed. When you see that we don't even know in this case about the shanty towns coming up.
The government doesn't even understand what urgent means. In fact, I'm going to put it to the Bahamian people. I put it out there that the government cannot take on a sense of urgency. They are unable to act with urgency. Now, this is a monolith, right? The whole government. Mm-hmm. So obviously, there are spaces, right? There's the whole legal department. They understand what urgency means. They understand when they have to act, right? There are silos, there are spaces that understand what urgency means. But there are also spaces that are unable to mobilize their workers. They are unable to mobilize an action, a program, a policy. They are unable to engender. They are unable to get the wider Bahamian public to see the urgency of the matter. And this is a big, big deal. It's a big, big problem, right? It's also about perspectives. I imagine some of these politicians, they go out, they go to the UN and they put on a documentary. They see what's happening in another country. They say, oh, it ain't that bad in the Bahamas. I mean, we all right. We all right, right? Yeah. But the MPs, the cabinet ministers, they need to be able to understand that urgency. Like somebody needs a John Taffer them from Bar Rescue or Gordon Ramsay them so they could understand the urgency of the matter at hand. I think it took too long for Keith Bell to make a public appearance. In fact, I felt like I goosied him earlier this week.
And this is why they are making heroes out of certain set of people because they take too long to respond. And they're now responding to social media, the videos circulating and the commentary circulating. And then you see out of the blue, the MPs start responding, the ministers start responding. And I am concerned about that.
This article, Bell, we will go after work permit violators. And that's in the title on the article. The article itself is about seven lines about the fact that they went, when they did the raid, that you've mentioned regularly, the most recent raid, and only a handful of people were found to be in breach of the law, right? And then Bell comes back and says, well, what we found in the raid is that most of the people were working outside of the scope of their work permit. Not that they were in the country undocumented, but they were just working where they were not authorized to work, right? Did you not addressing the real issue?
Go ahead.
You could go on, you could jump in as well, right, Ian? Just jump in. But the problem now is that you don't have sufficient local labor to match the pace of development and construction, or you have created a labor environment where employers refuse to follow the standard of the law and ensure that all workers are working in the proper environment, right? Legally approved and living in the proper environment because you could get away with paying people cheaper.
I think CA said it best when you make mention, CA, that the Constitution of the Bahamas, it's Trump's, it's law.
Yes.
And the law, it's final. It's just the way it is in the context of in the Bahamas. If there is a law that says that this is what we ought to do, we know what is best for us as a people. The international bodies will always speak, but what they speak is that mean that is right for us as a people or as a nation to go by everything that they said. The reason that I think that the Prime Minister is not speaking to the matter itself at hand is because it's much bigger than just the Bahamas itself. We're looking at those big trump cards like the Americans and the Canadians and France. Those persons are making the overall, they're making the overall decision for those persons in the Caribbean. It's like nothing can really move until they say, this is how we ought to move. Our airspaces don't move unless they say this is what we agree to. This is not, it's like a dictatorship situation. So the condition of Haiti is mandated by those persons who are in control and power. So everything that we're seeing that we consider to be such a big problem right now is not really that big of a problem.
But let's go to the phones. I'm entertained and tickled that you mentioned the airspace because I see that our Prime Minister mentioned it to Kamala Harris also. And I said, wait, it's our airspace. what you need to tell her about? We charging? That's what it is.
Mommy, can we please use it?
Begging permission again. But go ahead, caller. How you here? Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me?
We need justice, law, and order in the Bahamas. And now, of course, what I want to say, right? Aaron, how are you doing?
Good, thanks, sir. How are you?
I'm holding, thank God.
Blessings.
What I want to say, I disagree with what the brother has just said for the simple reason that right in Haiti, they got the people running Haiti who are not only not able to run, but who doesn't have the consent by the law to run Haiti, okay? That business itself is wrong, okay? And nobody want to go there to put order, nobody are there to put order in Haiti. The other thing is here when it comes to the Bahamas, right? The thing is, it's nothing too big for the government to handle. It's just that the government is slack. Other thing, right? Mm-hmm. People come into this country, you're worrying about the people what got false paper or paper to work, right? The thing is, you allow the people to come into the country illegal and you're not going to work with that. You think we are stupid. You got people coming to the country. We're going to marry people to stay into the country. See, they are the things supposed to look at. That's where the problem is. Man, this is a slack country, and the people that run it are slack. Thank you.
Thank you, Brayman. Thank you. Let's go to...
Actually, we have another caller there. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Hey, Nuri. Good morning.
How you doing, man, Jeff?
Right here, man. Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Let me try to make my statements very, very short, because, you know, these things are very passionate to some of us, and we could get long-winded on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's put it like this. You know, we are now at the juncture right now, to be honest with you, where Bahamians right now aren't really, per se, depending on the current administration for anything, because it appears to us on the more crucial matters that Bahamians are trying to address, want to get rectified, and want some real quick resolution to, seeing that these have been around for a very, very long time. In fact, it's more than just vexing. It seems as if the citizens now, they are on the cusp of taking these matters into their own hands and actually about to go there and begin to do the hard work that our government should be doing on behalf of the Bahamian people. That is why we elected them, to do the hard work, to address the matters that Bahamians have been talking about from time immemorial, some from our grandfathers and grandmothers' time, and yet still government seems reluctant to really want to rectify these matters in an expeditious manner. Now, we must agree, there are some things because of treaties that were signed, which many of we as Bahamians are still asking our government to lay out these treaties in front of the Bahamian people so we can get a full understanding of what it was that our government signed on behalf of the Bahamian people so we can know whether what parts of the law can be changed, what parts of the law cannot be changed. Is there an expiry date or a new date when the Bahamian government can meet back with persons with committees such as the United Nations to make changes or amendments to these articles and stuff? I mean, there's nothing presented to the Bahamian people. And, you know, I close on this. As I said before, many of us may not be learned in international law or foreign affairs laws or whatever it is that they have to abide by. But we do have sufficient intelligence to understand that when we see something is not working out to the best of our interests, and we are questioning them, and it seems to be this reluctance or cherry-picking on what they're going to Parliament to discuss, what is it that they're going to bring to the Bahamian people for us to really see if we can get to the bottom of this stuff and begin to solve a whole lot of these things, and there's that reluctance. I'm going to tell you, Bahamian people right now, more than ever, is very suspicious about this government or any other government that comes after this. They're going to have a very hard road to run if they don't begin to do some of the things that the Bahamian people are asking for. And I'll close on that note. Thanks for taking my call again.
Thank you very much, Jeff. You have any texts there before we transition?
Yeah, man. We have 1,008 texts.
That's not
first text. So Haiti has 10 million citizens. What happens if 1 million of them move to the Bahamas? This is Common Sense 101. What will happen?
You have time to answer what ifs.
No. That ain't what you're going to say.
What if the aliens come
and invade
the Bahamas?
Don't even go there.
Will we have alien Bahamian babies?
I could do what ifs too.
No, man, see, so that ain't even what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say is...
Don't do what ifs.
Dear Texter, what are you talking... First of all, what are you talking about? Not know. One person in this room say, let a million Haitians move to the Bahamas.
What ifs?
Not one. And what concerns me most, right, is that people are so frustrated and so emotive that they are no longer able to apply common sense and reason with people. The only thing the three of us have said today mm-hmm. is that there is a collapse in government systems.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem in and of itself is not rooted in migration. It is rooted in a clear and obvious degradation, devolution, collapse, breakdown in your various government systems and ministries. That's all we've said. And that's why Mr. Cecil Nuri ain't into entertaining None of this commentary, because on the surface of it, as soon as you read it, you could see that it's just an emotional eruption. It ain't nothing critical about the text.
Cousin Aaron, read the next text, please. Just read the next text. Let's move on.
I disagree. Bane is unconventional, but what we are doing now is not working. We need to do something different. That's what we're talking about, Texter.
Just know what Bane doing.
Yeah, exactly. Another text. Good morning, Aaron. Excellent questions. Let your reporters put those questions to Clint Watson tomorrow and don't settle for no unreasonable answers. I had to paraphrase that. Their texter, I'm hoping, I'm going to write them down and hoping that somebody will ask them. Hopefully, Clint don't need anybody to ask him them, and he's listening, and he's prepared to answer them because they're basic common sense questions. Another text. Yes, we have enough persons to handle the labor in this country. Look at the unemployment rate. And if we do not have enough labor, let's do a Selinden Pindling. For every job that a foreigner is doing, there should be an equal Bahamian citizen to fill the position or skill. We can train on the job or through UB or BTVI. Let's think out the box, please. We do not need any more migrants. Dear text, I with you.
In some jobs I ain't doing. I ain't know what you. Some jobs I ain't doing.
They know some of them ain't gonna do them jobs. I just can't do it.
Hire an immigrant.
Here's the thing for me, right? I have this rule. If I drive in and I see you in your professional truck with your company logo on the side of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I see you driving with your phone to your face, mm-hmm, or in your eye, right? I see you texting while you driving. Mm-hmm. If I see you in your professional truck, you riding up on the sidewalk, you ignoring stop signs and red lights, you ignoring pedestrian crossings and people in the road, here's the question. Why should I hire you? Why should I pay you money to bring that same lack of critical thinking and that same recklessness on my job? Maybe my house that I have to live in or my car I have to drive in. Why would I hire you? And why do Bahamians think that they're entitled to a job even when their biggest display of competence is a complete lack of competence? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that all Bahamians are lazy.
They say hire someone else.
That's what you're telling the general public.
Just hire somebody else.
Don't hire me because I'm showing you that I don't adhere to standards, I don't care about rules and professionalism, and I don't care about you. That's what you're showing people every day in the public and then asking, well, why aren't Bahamians hiring Bahamians?
You know what I'd like to see, Aaron? I'd like to see the Minister of Education open back up the program where students can go back off to school to further their education. And all they have to do is pay the grants.
We're still trying to pay those loans back. They ain't paid back yet.
They're the public funds. It's the public funds. And if the children's going away and it's going to help in the development of our nation, then they need it. I mean, the parents were paying the percentage on it. We need that.
I ain't voting for you.
See, but we need it.
No. Shh.
Let's leave them home then. Let's just leave them home and then see the crisis we have.
Go to UB.
Oh, man.
Go to UB.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And BTVI.
Don't go there. We just said we can do the same old thing again.
BTVI's work.
Oh, well.
No, I
ain't doing that. That's
another story.
Think foreign is better.
No, not because it's foreign, but the institution of BTVI, not to knock it and not to downplay it. But the thing about it is.
I ain't paying no attention. Go to BTVI.
Here's
the
text.
What he
do we know that we can't buy eggs? There's no large scale chicken farms in this entire country. If we believe that prices for eggs and other products will go down in a few months, we are fooling ourselves, but look what our number one concern is. Dear Texter, so you're saying that this focus on migration and the collapse of government systems that have allowed the undocumented or illegal migrant problem, the shantytown and unregulated land use problem to persist, right? To be exacerbated. You're saying that's of no concern. Well, what I'm arguing with you right now is that it is the very same collapse in government systems and disregard for proper land use and other issues that have led us to this place where, A, you believe that there are no large-scale chicken production in the country, right? And C, that is the largest problem. In fact, what I'm going to share with you is, first of all, we have to scale things, right, for the size that we are. We have a number of egg production facilities that are actually beyond capacity, right? They are producing eggs and they're selling out eggs, right? There's a couple of things going on. A, with Archipelago. Some of that production is on the Family Islands, and so the people in New Providence ain't ever get access to it. Another problem is we have a horrible mailboat system, which makes the movement of goods from the islands difficult if you want to put them in a commercial setting, right? Like, the eggs are here. They got eggs in Mayaguana. They got a coop in Mayaguana, right? And they have too many eggs in Mayaguana. They're trying to figure out how to get them up to New Providence to sell, right? So all of these things are tied in, and that's the point that we're making, is if you take care of the pennies, the pounds will take care of themselves. We got another text here. Dear texter, the gentleman who was texting about his brother and him, I got the first text. This is now the second text. I can pass the information on to Howard. Text, hi, nice show. I have two gripes with immigration. First, ensure that the work permit holder works for the employer and not out of their scope, out here competing with contractors in the construction industry. And secondly, revoke those 20 and 30 year work permit holders who have 20 children with three different women. Real talk. Now, dear texter, that's interesting, because at first it seems like a moral issue, right? It seems like a moral issue. But if somebody who's been on, first of all, somebody who's been on a work permit for 20 or 30 years, should they have been regularized by now, or should they have been denied future work permits, right? So you say, buddy, either you apply to become a Bahamian, or you apply for permanent residency with the right to work, or you stop coming here, because just starting families.
I think that's what the texter was dealing with.
Right, that's a moral issue, you see? That's a moral issue, and when does that moral issue then become, like, raised to the level of government concern? And my thing is, are you intending to reside here and remain here? You intending to put down roots here? Do you want the flexibility of being able to move freely between Haiti and the Bahamas? You know, and I think those are some of the questions. And I think this question of migrants working outside of the scope of their work permit.
Managing.
I mean, it's got to be a big issue, because that's the whole premise upon which the work permit is granted. Right? That's the premise upon which it's granted. And so how is it that people are just moving through? Now, another issue that arises, right? I'm concerned. Don't tell me, don't put no COVID lockdown restrictions on me. Don't tell me I need special measures, right? Like I need to be able to move through the Family Island. I like the idea as a Bahamian.
See, I could disagree move. With you, Aaron.
But it's a point, right? How do we then handle it? Because I'm also the same person who said, why didn't we implement special measures and protocols
for Abaco
specifically, yeah. Post-Dorian?
Yes. See, my thing is, right, we know we have a migrant population, a migrant problem right now, right? But they are able to traverse the entire Bahamas on our mailboats, right?
Yeah.
And get jobs.
Yeah.
How can an undocumented person be able to meander through the Bahamas and nobody stops them? Something is wrong. That means that we are aiding and abetting
so
these people.
Two things.
Go ahead.
Then it raises the question of different treatment for different people. We allow people who look like tourists,
the bright skin people,
to move through and meander. In fact, we laughed and had a national cheer when the people then post how they living on the island, stuck with COVID, eating lobster out of season, mm-hmm. when Bahamians couldn't even leave their house to go try pick up a free conch out the water,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're going to just let them people do what they want, but migrants, people who we suspect of being migrants. So that means if you're black, then you're going to get targeted. And you could be a Bahamian getting targeted in your own country for inspection, assessment, right?
It is what it
when
is.
Foreigners are moving freely through
them
your country.
Dark skin people leave, man. These dark skin people ain't leaving.
Do they leave?
It is what it is.
Hold on. The question is, do they leave? And is it just fair to say that?
Yeah. We got to do a census now.
We absolutely have to do a census. Because it would be unconscionable that because you're black, more attention is going to be paid to you. Because you're white, it's more likely you could just come here and live. You could just come here, meet one boyfriend, find one place, hang out. The neighbors say, yeah, don't watch nothing. Ain't nobody coming by.
Yeah, she got a foreign man.
But anyway, we get next cell phone call here. Producer, patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, what you saying, Nuri?
Richard, man, what you say?
All is well, man. I got to talk to you, man. I can call you probably sometime this week.
Call me, man. Call me.
You know who this is,
yeah,
right?
Of course I know this.
Okay.
Mason.
Listen, Ian Munnings.
Yes, sir.
Are you with my family? Your family, the Freddie Munnings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gus. I talk to you, too. I want to say something to Aaron. Aaron.
Yes.
Okay, now I want to talk to you concerning the traffic on the road, right?
Yes, sir.
And we have laws on the traffic on the road, right?
Supposed to.
Okay, but you notice, people don't be calling and talking about the traffic on the road the way they talking about this immigration thing.
Man,
dying.
Pause 1 second. I talk about traffic plenty. In fact,
I had to take a little break.
Yeah.
I know you does it, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, the other people, what is be calling and concerning the Haitian them,
yeah,
the migrant them,
mm-hmm,
they ain't calling and concerning how much people getting killed on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Some traffic accident.
Yep.
See, the migrant them, they ain't really killing nobody. I mean, some of them dying because they come in here the wrong way.
Yeah.
But, and I want to share something with you, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to you this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the Prime Minister and the Minister.
Uh-huh.
Did you listen to those assembly this morning?
No, I miss it.
Okay, you should listen to that and hear what the Minister of Immigration said.
Uh-huh, okay.
Concerning the law.
Uh-huh.
The law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
The laws what they are up to abide by and the laws them what they got to deal with,
mm-hmm,
and what they could deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen to people them talk a lot, but they forget. The Bahamas is a place we have laws in this land,
mm-hmm,
and laws we have to abide by.
Yeah.
And concerning the immigration problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Nuri was trying to share this with you a little earlier,
mm-hmm,
but he didn't get to bring it all out.
Uh-huh.
The injunction.
Uh-huh.
That's a hang-up, too.
That's a hang-up.
Right? And just what? The government have no power over that, because that is concerning
the courts.
A different tradition, which is the parliament.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not the parliament.
Judiciary.
I think that's the, what you call them, said them now?
The judiciary.
The judiciary, right?
Yeah.
Right, and their laws stated that conjunction, I don't know when that injunction get left,
mm-hmm,
but I believe when that get left, I think we're going to see some aggressive movement by whichever government be in power, whether it be this government or if they get Tingham, whichever government be in power,
mm-hmm,
I think you'll see aggressive movement concerning cleaning up them islands and even here concerning them shanty towns and illegal immigrants and things. So we just need to be patient about our government doing what they need to do. And remember, they got to abide by the law too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So and you all have a blessed one and enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
you can call you sometime, I say this week. God's willing.
Blessings to you.
All right,
okay,
God's blessing.
I can imagine whenever that injunction get lift, Fred Smith coming lift for something else. Bap! Right back. Right, another 15 months wait again.
Right. And
we ain't doing nothing to say, okay, whenever it happens, this is the new law. We just on pause.
What would be helpful is if the government would take the time, create a little mini documentary, whatever.
Something.
Run it on television.
Mm-hmm.
Tell Cable Bahamas, run it on Cable 2.
Yep.
Explaining the law concerning the injunction.
Put it in Creole.
Put it in Creole, in English. Put it in Spanish. Right? Put it in French. Broadcast it repeatedly.
And a Jamaican patois. Put all that.
This is the law.
Instead of the Chinese.
And put it in Chinese.
This is the law.
And Filipino.
This is the scope of what locals can do. This is the scope of what documented migrants could do. Undocumented migrants, you can't do nothing. Stop billing things.
Stop billing.
Just right. Just and say it repeatedly. That's the sort of the lack of that type of engagement frustrates
Explain
people.
Explain that it's against the law to have an open pit and do things. And
that's the start.
Yeah. Watch this. Not just that. Let's listen to this statement from the Minister of Public Works. From the article, local workers can't get work ahead of foreigners, in the Tribune. A multi-agency committee composed of representatives from various government departments, ministries, and law enforcement agencies was formed last year in response to the illegal developments. quote, "We will be seeking cabinet approval for the constitution and functions of that committee within the next 2 weeks." Close quotes, Works and Utilities Minister Alfred said told reporters earlier this month. Quote, "And the committee will then be able to speak with you and give you an update in terms of their work plan and their progress from time to time." Close quote. People are frustrated because, say what now, Mr. Sayers? Y'all formed a committee last year and we still got to wait another 2 weeks to get the orders and the instruments of the body so then they could talk to us and tell us what they did. But if they weren't a properly constituted body, then were they getting their stipend and did they do any work? Are they just going to begin to... Like, this is just, remember that poetry I was talking about earlier in the week? This is just poetry. That's all this is. This is just words. And at this time in our lives, as we approach the 50th anniversary, the Bahamian people are telling the government, the political class, we tired of this. It means nothing. And we're not going to stop until you tell us something that means something to us. Look here. There's an article. Two men accused of stolen immigration, of over stolen immigration stamp. Nassau Tribune.
What do you mean stolen immigration stamp?
From the Tribune. Two men were granted bail after denying having a stolen Bahamas Department of Immigration stamp.
Seal.
The article says stamp.
Oh,
okay. Right?
Stamp, seal, that's a major offense.
They get bail?
It should be a, what? That should not be granted bail for that.
They were given
that's
bail.
A major offense.
I don't understand.
That's
what, did
there.
I miss it?
Why I missed it there.
If the minister addressed it, I'm sure the media would have picked it up. Why wouldn't you address something like this at the ministerial level?
That is national security breach there, big
help,
time.
To help break down the trust deficit. I think it's a... Is there a migrant crisis? Of course there's a migrant crisis. Haiti's government does not exist at this moment. UN foreigners are implementing a interim thing to control the place. The people are leaving by droves. We need to see a commensurate effort or statement, something from the government that suggests to us that they understand the urgency of the global, the regional, and the local matter, that they can identify the specific issues and divert resources necessary to those issues and maintain communication with the Bahamian people, understanding that you can't tell us everything, but so that we can trust that you're working on the matter.
We just want to know they're working. But we have a quick call here, and then we go on commercial break, right? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I called back. You know, I wish y'all could come through Spence Street so I could show y'all something. You got people squatting around here, and guess what? They dip in the feces and dropping it on my premises. That's what these people need to be talking about, okay? And they're nasty, half Haitians.
I got you, Brimmon.
Okay, Brimmon.
We got you. And right, this is it. There is, people say, oh, Aaron, the text is, oh, y'all don't care, it's just misinformation. Everybody here at this table has indicated it's a crisis. All I'm saying is the crisis can't be the Haitians in Harbor Island because there are not enough laborers on the island to do the work. The crisis is that there's no housing available for the construction that you knew was happening.
Which you needed.
And people have been directed to live in the bush with no concern about the environmental impact that will affect the entire tourism product on the island.
I guess it'll worry about that after the hotel get built. But anyway, this has been Guiding Radio AM. We're going to take a quick commercial break right now. I'm here with Ian Munnings and, of course, Aaron Pretty Eyes Green. Right? We'll be right back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always calling me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I notice you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure that these check and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, Aaron Green is here with me. And of course, we have Ian Munnings, who's our resident guest host on Wednesdays. As we do have our Mashdown Wednesdays, where we combine both shows. We combine the on-the-clock show and the Guardian Radio AM show. And we have great discussion. And I prick Aaron's brain and challenge her, right? And, but we have a lot of texts. And Aaron is a resident text reader, so we'll have her read them, and then we'll comment on what's happening. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right, so let's get to the text. Hi again. The courts will not be able to handle the prosecution of the work permit holders because they all work out of their scope. Haitians pay Bahamians to apply for their work permits with no intention of employing them. I see what you're saying, that the person has a scope of work lined up. They just need the permit, and the work itself is not with the person who was signed up for the permit. I have you. I got you. I understand that. There's a space in there. That's not necessarily the conversation for today, right? There's a space in there. The other side of it is, what is the environment that we have to create to make working more attractive to Bahamians? No judgment, no nothing. What's the environment? What's missing in this current environment that makes these jobs less attractive to the Bahamian laborer? I got into an accident last night because the car coming from Mackey Street North decided to turn left on red while my light was green coming Mackey Street North. You may have decided to turn right on red. Here's what I'm going to need you to do, Texter. You're going to need to get your insurance agent and tell your insurance agent, take this seriously. The law is on your side. If they were traveling south, if they were coming from Mackey Street North and they turned right on red because that's the only direction they could turn, and you got in an accident, get your insurance agent on it right away. Right away. You can't turn right on red anywhere in the Bahamas. Good morning. And the Bahamians need to stop housing them illegally. They renting and allowing 10 in a house. I got you. I can show you another thing. How are Bahamians living? We also need regulations to ensure that Bahamians can access affordable and decent housing. Unfortunately, Bahamians have to resort to that kind of checking since there is no confidence that the country has the illegal migrant issue under control. The traffic contributing to accidents as well. They are driving on our streets. I had an encounter before. The illegal and Haitians are driving on the road as well and so not speak English well, so imagine they may not also be able to read signs. I've had an encounter with one man who spoke no English and did not realize he can turn on left. I tried to explain, but he spoke no English. It's a good thing he couldn't understand you, because it turns out
you can't turn
left on red, except at University Commons.
And unless there's a sign present.
And there's only one sign.
In the whole new province.
So that's all he's saying, you can't.
Yeah, that's it, dear Texter. You cannot turn left on red unless you're at University Drives and University Commons intersection. Texter says, Bahamians, first of all, Texter, thank you for texting back. Bahamians are too stressed to be on cell phones while driving. It's your people doing this crap, causing accidents 24/7 with their fake license they buy. Dear Texas, I want to thank you for that joke.
You trying to say it's the Ackless people?
He said, y'all think we dumb. Texter, you think I'm dumb. You think I silly. And we entitled because this is the Bahamas, we are Bahamians. No, you're not entitled. Dear Texter, listen, I want to thank you because this is not real. This is obviously somebody spoofing us, like, right? And they want to juice up the conversation.
This is my dad serious.
Dear Texter, you are not entitled to break the law.
You serious, Aaron?
B, you're not entitled to make the lives of other people more risky, right? Like, you're not entitled to put them at risk because you was a Bahamian and you could do foolishness on the road if you want to. In fact, that's the entire attitude right now I was trying to get at when I tell you, tell your good son, if he driving in the company car doing foolishness, nobody gonna hire the company. Right? Okay.
You want to text?
Haitians are killing people every day in Haiti and the Bahamas. Stop your lies. My mother got assaulted by 3 Haitians. Government can appeal.
I'm sorry to hear that.
The injunction at any time. If Brave and his peeps could break all our constitutional laws, he can break any law he wants. I could be honest with you. I've been assaulted numerous times in this country.
You have?
Yeah, and none of them was Haitian. Yeah, we talk about it. None of them was Haitian. In fact, I found it assaultive and offensive. People had, anyway.
Anyway, let me...
Another text. Oh, call. Let's go
caller.
Let's
go to this caller. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Are you there?
I'm here, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. I didn't get to all of your show, but just let me make 2 points, just catching the end of it. There's 2 things. Aaron touched on one of them. We have a housing crisis, something that I and others have been professing for almost 2-plus years. And so essentially what the problem is, affordable housing across the entire Bahamas. If the government is to take being taken serious concerning these individuals not being all of foreign descent or illegal, then that means that you're going to need housing for thousands of people, housing. Now, here's the second thing. You talk about wages. Oftentimes, we talk about what behemoths will work for. What we need is regularization of the wages in the country, but we also need an efficiency grade type and thing to find out what is the productivity level needed for each job. Now, if you take the union or their word that within 2 years we will have the livable wage, then there will not be a wage disparity based on the type of skill set that is needed or job that is needed to be done. We just have to also now make sure that we have the skill set to match the demand for this livable wage. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of work ahead of us to not only resolve this immigration issue, and I think, Aaron, you mentioned the fact that this is a collapse of governance, and I think both you and I have been harping this for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
This is a collapse of governance, and so this may be an opportunity for us to look at all of these so-called pitfalls or failures and see how we can harmonize them. I am one to say that technology is the ultimate response, but, you know, how we are with technology, we like to buy shiny stuff. They don't have to do what they say they do. And so this hopefully be the beginning of a conversation of all of the effects along the line, the cracks that has this leak that's coming through. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You have 5 minutes, Aaron.
Okay,
go ahead, so give me some text.
All right. Dear Texter, Howard is not here. This is not Howard. But welcome back, Howard. You were missed from this station, is what the Texter said. Now, the Texter, I think, is addressing us. My 5 cents on the immigration work permit holders, no one can go beyond 3 years. They would think that's a good policy. We have a serious problem when those who remain here 5, 10, 15, or 20 years start networking to bring their entire tribe to the Bahamas to secure jobs for their friends and family. Another text. Okay, I got you, Texter. Another text. Nuri, the Bahamas has an immigration problem that involves an illegal Haitian crisis. We must be specific and clarify the issue. Now, the text, this is what pisses, I'm sorry, off a lot of Bahamians about the injunction. My apologies. Dear text, to use a better word, man. The law clearly states that you can't build any new structures, but it's being allowed to continue. While Bahamians can't build a wall without permission, it's not fair. CA, this isn't a real country. You know, remember Clayton Fernanda, the now COP, had the government in court for demoting him. Then the government settled with him. Now commissioner of police with public money without the court signing off. And then tell us that they can't tell us what was the statement, because it might risk his life. The settlement, that act was so wrong because it's public money. Mm. Another text. Wait, what? We can't turn left on red. Where do we find the laws so we know? Listen, I got it. I can bring it. I have it in my folder right now. We don't have enough time. Let me tell you this right now, Bahamian public. There is only one place where you are authorized to turn left on red. It is University Drive and University Commons. That is the only intersection with a sign indicating you could turn left on red as per the legislation. I can read the legislation for you tomorrow. Haitian, another text. Haitians are the worst drivers on the road, dead serious. There are texts that we could debate about that. Another text. So, it is almost treason that the shantytown injunction is still going on with no end in sight. Another text. So, if illegals can get away with building any structure they want, then Bahamian should go ahead and start building without permits also. Another text. Aaron, yes. We need more housing, but there are still too many here, and that's the problem. Even the government are hiring them over the Bahamians. Dear Texter, this is the point right here. I mean, you say there are too many here. The economists are saying there are not enough people in the Bahamas to do the work necessary to propel your economy forward. Mm-hmm. The economists are saying things like, you really need a million more people.
Definitely.
In your population. To be putting out or generating the income
we needed to run the country.
And to live the lifestyle that you want to live. A million more people is what the economists are saying. And so I'm going to say to y'all, because I just eat juju. I just make lemonade. I make my own soap. I make my own lotion. I'm saying to those of us who like other people things more than the things that we can create ourselves. We value other people's things more than the things we can create ourselves. How are you going to continue and maintain the lifestyle you've become accustomed to if you keep saying, send all the migrants home? That's it.
Aaron, I like to, as we close, 50 years ago, as we founded ourselves, because as we become a nation, right, we had a migrant issues. Shortly after independence, you see they were deporting the people from Turks Island, deporting the Haitians there, and deporting the Jamaicans there. And 50 years later, full circle, we having the same issue. Right? We have the same issue. I'm concerned. We must be growing. Right? Come the celebration on July. This migrant issue and rowing shouldn't be the topic anymore. We need to have bigger and better things and grander subjects that we should be talking about.
Well, listen, I feel you there. I think this is a grand discussion. I think it's just our frustration leads us to one perspective. I think the conversation is, how do we use Ghana, share the resources of our regional partners to continue to grow the Bahamas, to make it the jewel of the region, so we put ourselves in a position where we can support the growth and the development of all other countries.
Yeah, we gotta go. Guardian Radio AM. Have a wonderful day.